Welcome to season four of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help you navigate building a business as a faith-filled entrepreneur with business strategies and tips and encouragement in taking God-sized risks, operating in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and being bold as you step out in the confidence that we receive from Ephesians 3:20, knowing that God is working through you to do infinitely more than we might ask or think, giving God the glory every step of the way. Thank you for being here. We ask that you continue to download these episodes and share with your faith-filled entrepreneur friends. We need faith leading business more than ever right now. And we can't wait to be on this journey with you. My name is Jen Kleiber, owner of the educational consulting company, The Responsive Classroom, creator of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Community, and your host as we journey through this business building life together. Hey friends, I'm so glad you're back. Today we are going to follow up on the interview that I had with Ms. Tracy Holloway last week. If you haven't listened to that podcast, I highly encourage you to go back and listen. She is a master at helping you create your brand and get your messaging right. And y'all, this starts with niching down. There's a saying in the marketing world that says clear is kind. And all this means is that the clearer your message is, the more return that you will get. So how do we get clear on our messaging? Well, we get really clear on who we're talking to, which is your ideal customer avatar, and their pain points that we are hopefully offering a solution for. Now, I go into depth a little bit more in the Passion to Business mini course, which is coming out in July. We're super pumped about that. But when we get started in a business, most of us are super passionate about the concept of our business. So for me, it was helping teachers to help students, specifically struggling students. I didn't know all the terms or the framework that I was going to end up creating or adopting, but I was and still am super passionate about this topic. But y'all, I did not know the slightest thing about starting a business or running a business or for sure growing a business. And I think that a lot of you are in the same boat or you were in the same boat. So one of the most important first steps into moving from an idea into a sustainable business is niching down. And the first steps to doing that is to determine your audience and their pain points. I actually want to take one little step backwards though, because if you're sitting there thinking, okay, I don't even know exactly who my audience is. If determining the audience and the pain points still seems a little broad, you may need to narrow your thinking a little bit. So let me go back to my example. When I first started my business, The Responsive Classroom, which used to be called Pressing Onward, I knew I wanted to help teachers reach students. In fact, my first tagline was teaching by reaching. And one of the first steps that I did, and it's a step that I recommend to a lot of people who are in the first phases of trying to focus in their idea, was to start a blog. I wrote on that blog every week for about 3 years, and I still write at least monthly on it. This served a few purposes. Okay, for one thing, of course, it gave me consistent content and a way to add value. We put it on LinkedIn, the social media that we were on at the time, my email list. But more importantly, especially at the beginning, it helped me really evolve the content that I wanted to deliver, the content that I could write on for days, the content that got me excited when I spoke about it. The situations that I was drawn to when I was working in schools and I wanted to come back and write about it. Writing this blog weekly helped me figure out exactly where my passion was, and it also helped me to look for and acknowledge the pain points that I was seeing. And then when I was writing the blog, it also kind of forced me to think through those solutions. So while it was, of course, a platform to give value, it was also my brainstorming and thought-evolving platform, and it eventually helped me to really narrow down my niche. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't know how many people are actually reading the blog. I have probably about 400 subscribers to the blog, so nothing hugely substantial, but that blog has played a massive role in me finding my exact niche, because here's the deal. If you are close to the education system at all, you know that there are 1,000 things wrong with it. There are 1,000 needs that students have. There are 1,000 needs that teachers have. And I can't meet all of them. So I had to really get targeted in what I was offering to the school districts that I was working with. And that blog helped that kind of evolve. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about why you need to niche down, because I know that this can feel kind of counterintuitive. You may feel like you are excluding potential customers if you niche down. That's okay. Why is this important? I want you to put yourself in a client's position, okay? And I'm just going to use myself as an example for the sake of conversation here. Let's say that I'm in the market for a new vehicle and I'm kind of thinking that I want a BMW SUV. Now, I may not know exactly what I want, but I really like those vehicles. So I'm searching on the internet, right? Which then attaches me to all of these people that are going to reach out to me. We all love how the internet works now, right? So I get an email from a dealership that says, we have all kinds of vehicles, SUVs, trucks, sedans, any maker model that you're looking for. Come on down, take a test drive. We'll find the car that's right for you. Okay, so that's one email. Then I get another email, and it is actually from a BMW dealership. And it says something to the effect of, we know that you want a little more room, but we know you don't want to sacrifice luxury. We want to welcome you into our BMW family, so come take a test drive. Let us help you get into your dream car. Now, where am I going to be more likely to go? To the BMW dealership, right? Because they spoke right to my heart, because I was their ideal customer avatar. Now, let's say that you get the same email, but you're actually looking for a Jeep Wrangler, right? You get the same email from the BMW dealership, but you're looking for a Jeep Wrangler. Well, you're not going to go to the BMW dealership, but that's okay. You don't need to waste their time or your time if they don't have a Jeep Wrangler. So then to take this a step further, maybe I get an email from a Mercedes dealership. They got my email off of a dealership link where I inquired about a BMW SUV. And so they start sending me information about their luxury SUVs. Is that a good plan for them? Well, probably, because I am probably their ideal customer avatar. So I may be willing to look at other luxury SUVs, hence the need for having an ideal customer avatar. If their SUV solves my pain points, and I'm using that term loosely here because obviously first world problems, right? I'm going to be more apt to consider the Mercedes. The only time that I would go to an everything dealership is if I really have no idea what I need or want. But most people don't fit into this bucket. They have very specific pain points. And if you have a solution to those pain points, the more directly you can speak the right message to the right people, the more that they'll buy from you. And here's the other thing about this example. By the time I go to the BMW dealership, I'm probably pretty primed to buy a car. If I go to the everything dealership, I'm just looking around. So if you have people who are coming to you, consuming your content, and then not buying, you may not have the right audience consuming your content. Okay, the other big benefit of having an ideal customer avatar is knowing what type of messaging to use. So another example that I like to give and that I see often actually is mothers. I've spoken to several people who maybe have health coaching or organizational solutions or something along those lines, and they target moms. Well, let's get real. I have completely different pain points now as the mother of a preteen than I did as a mother to an infant or toddler. So a lot of times, if I'm honest, when I go look at the solutions for moms, the messaging is more for moms with younger kids. So it might say something like, are you wanting to lose baby weight? Well, I don't have baby weight. Not saying I don't have other weight, but I don't have baby weight. Maybe a message is, do you have toys all over your house and you're needing to find a place for them? Nope, I don't. Not saying I don't have shoes or an occasional baseball or basketball, but no, I don't have toys all over my house. So for me, better messaging may be, Do you want tips for healthy meal planning while driving your kids to all of their activities? Yes, please. That is much more a solution from my specific pain point. That messaging, because it was directly to me, right? Because I am their ideal customer avatar, my short attention span is going to stick on that to where it wouldn't necessarily for something like losing baby weight. Even if the solution is the same thing, even if the meals are the same meals, you're offering the same meals to the mom who wants to lose baby weight and the mom who's busy driving their preteen around, the messaging has to go to a specific person. I hope that that makes sense. Okay, so now let's shift to talk about the pain points for just a second. When I think about our mission statement for the Responsive Classroom, we equip teachers to reach all students. We help teachers create independent learners through culturally responsive teaching. This does not mention pain points, however. So I can tell administrators this information all day long, but I need to make sure that my solutions speak to their pain points. So as I mentioned in Tracy's podcast, I quickly realized that administrators, bottom line, are worried about test scores. This is a major pain point. So although raising scores was not one of my primary outcomes that I wanted to have as a solution, it was a solution that they needed. And when students are more engaged and participating more and the instruction is at a higher level, not surprisingly, test scores come up. So I've got to make sure that my messaging hits to that pain point. Okay, so if we go back to the moms planning healthy meals, right? So if you help moms plan healthy meals for busy families, what are the pain points that you are providing a solution for? Well, maybe we don't have time to cook. Our families are eating too much processed foods. Our families are eating late after activities, and we know that that's not healthy. Maybe we are feeling groggy or tired. Maybe we have kids, and this could just be my life, but we have kids who are always hungry. They're always hungry, right? Once you can give specific solutions to these pain points, your convert rate to sales is going to skyrocket. So let's talk for just a second about how we find our audience's pain points. Okay, so obviously we ask them. You can send specific emails to people in your group. If you have people that are participating, that are responding, right? Ask them why. Ask them what their pain points are. You can create polls or surveys. You can search social media for similar content and see what people are asking on other people's Instagrams or Facebook pages. And then here's one way to use Google, okay? You can Google a topic that is related to your content. So maybe I'm going to Google meal planning for busy moms. Then what I want you to do is to scroll down to a section called People Also Ask. So there you're going to find the most common questions that people are asking related to your content. When I Googled meal planning for busy moms, and then I scrolled down to the People Also Ask section, here's what it gave me. Number one, what do working moms do for dinner? Number two, what are 5 tips for meal planning? Number three, how do stay-at-home moms plan meals? Number four, how can a busy mom eat healthy? Okay, so I don't have to come up with those words. I don't have to reinvent those words. That's what people are asking. So if what I'm offering is a solution to any of those things, then I want to make sure that I am using those words. I'm using that copy. I would probably pull terms like working moms, healthy, stay-at-home moms, 5 tips for, right? 3 tips for, because that's what people are wanting. It helps me speak directly into what people are asking. Okay, y'all, so we have a guide. We talked about it in the last episode, but we have a guide that we would love to give you to just help you on this journey of discovering your niche through your audience and their pain points. So just head to our brand new website, thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com/finding-your-niche, and niche is spelled N-I-C-H-E. So again, it's thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com/finding-your-niche, or you can just check out the show notes for the link. I just want to remind everyone that if you are a business owner or you are in the planning phases of being a business owner, jump into our Facebook group, The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, or follow us on Instagram at Jen_Kleiber to get business strategies, verses for guidance and encouragement, and to have a community that celebrates each other, networks with each other, and prays for each other. And there you can also keep up with all of the resources that we have to offer you. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, download, that helps us, and then share with your faithful entrepreneur friends. And we will be back with another episode of the Faithful Entrepreneur next week.